We'll get things rolling in Act 2 right now with Favorite Story, a 1947 syndicated production with Ronald Coleman, along with V. Benaderet and Hans Conried, the man who married a dumb wife. Favorite Story on the WRVO Playhouse.
This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. Of the many great plays produced by the French masters, The Man Who Married a Dumb Wife by Anatole France ranks as one of the finest. Written originally by Monsieur France for the entertainment only of his friends, this rollicking, fast comedy was quickly grabbed by the regular theaters and has been played successfully many times since in Paris, London, and New York. We present it this week on Favorite Story. It is the choice of Miss Helen Traubel, distinguished soprano of the Metropolitan Opera Company. Although the scene of our play is set in the Paris of a bygone century, the satire and conversation might well be of today. It is concerned principally with the, loquacity of the fair sex. But I hasten to remind our listeners that this is fiction. Simple fiction. And that any resemblance to your wife or mine is purely coincidental. But now to the play. And while you take a stroll down the avenue, enjoying the sunshine of a bright Paris morning, listening to the street cries of the vegetable and fruit sellers, the chimney sweeps and candle merchants, I, if you will allow me, will put on the robes of Judge Léonard Botal, magistrate of the French Civil and Criminal Courts, and will rejoin you in a few moments as The Man Who Married a Dumb Wife.
Burn brightest.
Good day, Judge Botal.
Ah, Adam Fumé. What a pleasant surprise to see you. It's been many years.
It has indeed. I hope I find Your Honor well, Your Honor.
Fairly well, fairly. What good wind brings you to Paris, Master Adam?
Well, I've come all the way from Chartres to talk to Your Honor about a case pending before Your Honor. A poor orphan girl.
Poor orphan girl, huh? Adam, do you remember the days when we were law students together at Orléans University?
Yes. We used to play the flute together. Yeah. Two flutes.
And take the lovely young ladies to picnics and dance from morning till night. It's a wonder we ever learned any law.
What days. But I have come here, Your Honor, to hand Your Honor a statement in behalf of a poor orphan girl.
Will she give good fees?
She is a poor orphan girl.
Yes, I know. But will she give good fees? Well,
she's been robbed so thoroughly by her guardian, she's nothing left but her eyes to weep with.
Ah.
But if she wins this suit, she'll be rich again. She will give plentiful proof of her gratitude.
Orphan girl, eh? Well, now give me the statement. I'll look into the matter.
Oh, Your Honor does not know how grateful I am, Your Honor. My dear old schoolfellows.
I'll consider the case without fear or favor.
Oh, but of course that goes without saying. Now tell me, does everything go well with Your Honor?
Sure, sir.
You seem worried. And yet you have a place of honor and distinction. The judgeship's a good one.
It ought to be a good one. I paid enough for it and I didn't get cheated.
Well, then perhaps you are lonely. Why don't you get married?
What? Don't you know, Master Adam, that I have just been married?
Well, congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
But, my dear friend, why are you so sad? Isn't your wife from a good family?
Oh, the best. She is Catherine Montmichel, the seventh daughter of the criminal court judge at Salancy.
Oh. Is she not beautiful, then?
The most exquisite creature in the world.
Then what is wrong, my friend?
Alas, she is dumb. She cannot speak a word.
And you didn't notice it until after you'd married her?
Oh, I couldn't help noticing it, of course, but it didn't seem to matter so much then as it does now. I considered her beauty and her property, and I dreamed of the happiness I would have with her. But now I do wish she could talk. It would be a real intellectual pleasure for me. Besides, it would be a practical advantage for the household.
Oh, it would.
Certainly. What does the judge need most in his house? Why, a good-looking wife who can receive applicants for justice.
It's true.
And by subtle hints and turns of the conversation, gently bring them to the point of making proper gift offerings.
It's true.
So that their cases may receive, how shall I put it, more careful attention.
I see Your Honor's point, Your Honor. I do indeed.
Yes, people need to be encouraged to make proper presents. And a woman, by clever speech, can get a good ham from one, a roll of cloth from another, and influence still another to give some fine fat poultry. But this poor dumb thing, Catherine, gets nothing at all.
I feel for Your Honor, my old friend.
Well, you should. While my fellow judges have their kitchens and cellars brimming over with good things, all thanks to their wives, I hardly get enough to keep the pot boiling. But that's not all I'm losing, Master Adam. I am losing my spirits, too, and my wits.
Oh, no reason to do that, Your Honor. Think for a moment. There are advantages in Your Honor's case. Many a husband would gladly trade places with Your Honor.
No, Master Adam, you don't understand. Mm. Think. When I hold my wife in my arms, a woman as beautiful as the finest carved statue, and quite as silent, it makes me feel strange and uncanny. I even ask myself if I'm holding a graven image, or a mechanical toy, or a magic doll made by a sorcerer.
What a notion.
And sometimes I think the entire household is bewitched by her beautiful silence.
Your Honor has convinced me. I can easily see how a mute wife is a pretty poor conversationalist.
Yes.
And I agree that talking isn't much fun when you get no answer.
Now you know why I'm in such low spirits.
Your Honor, there may be a remedy. Tell me, is Your Honor's wife deaf as well as dumb?
Oh, Catherine is no more deaf than you and I. Even less. She can hear the very grass growing.
Then the case is not hopeless.
Huh?
It's child's play for a doctor to untie her tongue.
What?
The operation is so simple, it's done every day to puppies that cannot learn to bark.
Where is such a doctor?
There is a famous one at the Sign of the Dragon, just around the corner from your own house.
Around the corner?
Yes, Master Simon Colleen, who has a fine reputation for loosing the tongues of the ladies of Paris.
Uh-huh.
In a turn of the hand, he'll draw from your wife's lips a flood of speech, just as you turn on a spigot and let the water run forth like a sweet purling brook.
Is this true, Master Adam? You're not deceiving me. You're not speaking as a lawyer in court.
Oh, I'm speaking as a friend and telling you the truth.
Then I must send for this doctor. Immediately.
Your Honor, before you do, think it over once more.
No.
Because though there are some disadvantages in having a dumb wife, there are some advantages, too.
No. My mind is made up.
Then good day, Your Honor, my dear old schoolfellow. Remember, I am truly your friend, so consider carefully the case of the poor orphan girl.
The poor orphan girl, yes. Now, be back this afternoon, Master Adam. I'll have my decision ready.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Giles! Ah, the rogue never hears me. He's probably in the kitchen, as usual, upsetting the soup and the servant. What a knave and a scoundrel. Giles! Here, you rapscallion.
Present.
You're straight to the famous doctor, Master Simon Colleen, around the corner at the Sign of the Dragon. Tell him to come at once to treat a dumb woman.
Yes, Your Honor.
Be off, and bring the famous doctor back with you.
Yes, Your Honor.
Ha, ha, ha. What a surprise for that lovely creature. I wonder what will be the first adoring words she says. Let me see. I have have 14 more verdicts to write out, besides the decree for the poor orphan girl. Yeah. And that's no small labor, because a decree, to do credit to a judge, must be cleverly worded, subtle, elegant, and adorned with all the ornaments of style and of thought. The ideas must be pleasingly conceived and charmingly expressed. Where should one show one's wit, if not in a verdict? Ah, Catherine, my love, I didn't even hear you come in. You are like the fairy forms in the stories that seem to glide upon the air, or like the dreams which the gods send down to happy mortals. My love, you are a marvel of nature and a triumph of art. You have all charms but speech. Wouldn't you be glad to have that too? Wouldn't you be happy to let your lips utter all the pretty thoughts I can read in your eyes? Wouldn't you like to tell your husband how you love him? Yes, wouldn't it be delightful to call him your treasure, your sweetheart? Yes, yes, it would. Well, I have a piece of wonderful news for you, my love. There is a doctor, a great, a famous doctor, who is coming here at any moment now. And he will make you talk. And then, what a full, beautiful life we shall have, my darling. Just consider the compliments you can pay your husband, my love. And your voice. Ah, I hear it even now. Gentle as the soft breezes, warm and low and sweet. Tones as golden as a bird's song at evening. And speaking to me always of the love that is in your heart. Eh, my love? Hey.
Your Honor, here's the great doctor you sent for.
Well, bring him in, bring him in.
I am Master Simon Colleen himself, Judge Potel.
Ah, doctor, come in.
You called for my services.
Yes, doctor, yes, to make a dumb woman speak.
Ah, and this is the patient?
It is. My own sweet, adorable, but silent wife.
Hmm. I shall examine her in the latest scientific fashion. Milady, open your mouth. Say something. Diagnosis? She's done.
Oh, what a brilliant physician.
Boom!
My dear doctor, why did you scare my wife like that?
Diagnosis? She is not deaf.
Will you make her speak?
In a moment, we shall perform a slight operation.
Yes, yes, but be careful. She is the treasure of my life.
The operation is over.
Can she speak now? Can she?
Oh, first, she must swallow this pill.
A pill?
A pill.
She needs a pill to speak?
Oh, yes, because of the interdependence of the organs.
Oh, yes, 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 naturally.
There. The pill is swallowed?
Ah.
And now, milady, speak.
Speak, speak, my angel, speak. What will be the first words to fall from those lovely lips?
Bring me my looking glass.
She spoke. She spoke.
You silly goose. You shall give me a new satin gown and a velvet trim cape for my birthday. And that's not all.
She's
I want my room redone, and I want my mother to come visit me.
Yes.
And I don't get half enough sweets.
Yes,
and
dear,
all I want a great many things. A little puppy dog. Don't
I
you
know,
think
my dear, you
wonderful, be... Leonard. You know, of course, my wardrobe is to be great. I just must have some new things.
Yes,
and
yes, my dear.
And that's not all. I can't see you.
We're ready for Act Two of Miss Helen Traubel's favorite story, The Man Who Married a Dumb Wife. The judicial robes of Judge Leonard Botal fall on my shoulders for this performance, and with me in the cast are B. Benaderet, Hans Conried, and Louis Van Ruten. If you're ready, my friends, the players are ready. Here's Act Two.
Good afternoon. afternoon, Your Honor. Yes. How are you this afternoon?
Well, very well.
I am sorry to disturb you, but have you had a chance to look into the case of my client, the poor orphan girl?
Not yet. No, I would have done it if I hadn't been so busy.
Oh.
See, I've been entertaining the flower of the medical faculty.
Yes.
It's good.
Poor orphan girl. It was you.
Hmm?
It was your advice that brought me all this trouble.
What do you mean?
I sent for that famous doctor of yours. He twisted my wife's tongue ligament, gave her a pill, and she spoke.
She spoke? Did she need a pill to speak?
Yes, because of the interdependence of the organs.
Oh. Well, anyhow, the main point is she spoke. What did she say?
She said, bring me my looking glass. And seeing me quite overcome with emotion, she said, you silly goose, you should give me a new satin gown and a velvet trim cape for my birthday.
And she kept on talking?
She hasn't stopped yet.
And yet you don't thank me for my advice? You don't thank me for having suggested that wonderful doctor? Aren't you overjoyed to hear your wife speak?
Yes, I thank you with all my heart, Master Adam. And I am overjoyed to hear my wife speak.
Then, what's bothering you, Your Honor? Isn't your wife's speech clear?
Yes, it's clear. And abundant. Mm. Its abundance will be a terrible trial to me if it keeps up at the rate at which it started.
I feared that beforehand. But you mustn't be discouraged too soon. Perhaps this flood of words will ebb. It is the first overflow of a spring too long bottled up.
Oh.
My congratulations on a successful operation, Your Honor.
Congratulations.
My client's name is Emmeline de la Garandière, the poor orphan girl.
Yes.
I will be back later in the day to find out your decision in the matter.
Yes. Well, to work. I look into your case at once, Master Adam.
I will return later in the day, Your Honor.
Statement on behalf of Ermeline Jacinthe, Marthe de la Garandière, gentlewoman.
What are you doing, my dear? You seem dizzy.
Aren't you afraid
it'll make you ill?
Well, I'm...
You look restless in a while.
Why don't you
tell me what you're doing here?
My love,
Is it such a great secret? Can't I know about it?
My love,
if it's a secret, don't tell me.
Won't you give me a chance to answer? I'm examining a case and preparing to draw up a verdict on it.
Oh, he's drawing up a verdict. It's very important.
Most certainly it is. In the first place, people's honor, their liberty, and sometimes even their life may depend on it.
Of course.
And furthermore, the judge must show both the depth and the profundity of his thought and the finish of his trial.
Oh, then examine your case and prepare your verdict, my dear. I'll be silent. Yes,
good, right. Ermeline Jacinthe, Marthe de la Garandière. A gentlewoman.
My dear, which do you think would be more becoming to me? A damask gown or a velvet suit for the Turkish
excursion?
I think a flowered satin would suit my age best, especially a light-colored one with a small flower pattern.
Yes, perhaps.
Don't you think, my dear, that it's quite improper to have a hoop skirt very full? That fashion won't last, I'm sure. Someday the poor ladies will give it up, and then every woman in town will make haste to follow their example. Don't you think so?
Yes.
Now, about high heels. They must be designed just right.
High heels.
A woman is judged by her footwear. You can always tell a real fine lady by her shoes. You agree with me, don't you, dear?
Yes, I agree.
Then write out your verdict. I shan't say another word.
That's right. Now, the guardian of said young lady, namely Hugo Thomas of Pied de Loup, stole from the said young lady...
My dear, if one were to believe the wife of the Chief Justice, the world has grown very close.
From the said young lady...
It's bad. Young men nowadays don't marry. They prefer to hang around rich old ladies. And meanwhile, the poor girls are left to wither. Do you think it's as bad as all that? Do answer me, ducky.
My darling, won't you please be silent one moment? Or go somewhere else and...
Dear, don't worry. I shan't say another word.
Good.
Not a word.
The said Pied Loup, counting both hay crops and... apple crops.
We shall have some minced mutton and what's left of that goose for supper tonight, my dear. Tell me, is that enough? The cost of living is getting higher all the time. Chickens and salads and meat and fruits have all gone up so.
I beg you.
It's no wonder everything goes up here.
It gets
more extravagant every day. For my part, I can't understand how people can stuff themselves with so many kinds of food and waste so much in the bargain. Now, what I like best is capon kidneys with artichoke hearts.
I shall go mad. I shall go mad. I know.
My dear, I shan't say another word. Not a single word. For I see that my chattering might possibly disturb your work.
If you would only do as you say.
I shan't even open my lips.
Splendid.
You see, Ducky, I'm not saying another word.
Yes.
I'm letting you work in perfect peace and quiet.
Yes.
and you can write out your verdict quite undisturbed. Is it almost done?
It never will be if you don't keep still.
Item. £120 a year, which the said unworthy guardian stole from the poor orphan girl.
Listen, didn't you hear a cry of fire?
Poor orphan girl.
I thought
girl.
I did. But perhaps I may have been mistaken. Is there anything as terrifying as a
poor
fire?
Poor orphan
Last
girl.
Last year I saw the houses on Exchange Bridge burn up. Oh, what confusion, what havoc.
Lord, have mercy upon me.
Oh, what makes you groan so dear? Tell me, what's the matter?
I can't endure it another minute.
Oh, what you need, Leonard, is some rest and
Will
quiet.
Will you never be still?
No, don't be cross, dear. I'm not saying a word.
Would to heaven.
Leonard! Here comes Madame de Lebrun down the street. Oh, I hope she doesn't come to visit us. She jabbers like a magpie. She does nothing but gabble, gabble, gabble from morning till night. What a chatterbox. It's lucky for you that you didn't marry her. I know you don't like rattle-tongued women. And that woman, just nothing but
I can't stand it.
Where are you going? Leonard, what are you going to do?
I'm going crazy. I'm going to the lunatic asylum for a rescue.
Help! Murder! My husband's gone mad!
Your Honor, where is Your Honor running to?
Where's that doctor? Doctor, Master Adam, where does he live?
Oh, right in here, Your Honor, but calm yourself. Tell me, have you written the verdict?
The verdict?
Yes, the poor orphan girl.
Oh, yes, here, I have it in my hand. Look, here it is.
Oh, thank you.
Whereas Mademoiselle Pierre-Luc did fraudulently steal from her guardian, poor orphan girl, 10 loads of hay and high heels. And whereas there is nothing so terrifying as a fire.
What in heaven's name are you reading?
Oh, Master Adam, I need that doctor. Where is he?
Right here.
What's wrong?
Oh, good doctor, I'm in haste to see you. I urgently beg for your services.
For yourself? What is your disease? Where is the pain?
No, for my wife, the one who was dumb.
Has she any trouble now?
None at all. I have all the trouble now.
What? The trouble is with you, and it's your wife you want cured?
Good doctor, she talks too much. You should have given her speech, yes, but not so much speech. Since you've cured her of her dumbness, she's driving me mad. I can't bear another word. I've come to you to ask you to make her dumb again.
That is impossible.
What's that? You can't take away the power of speech which you gave her?
No, that I cannot do.
Oh.
My skill is great, but it stops short of that.
Oh, no, don't tell me that.
We have medicines to make women speak, but we have none to make them keep silent.
You haven't? Is that your last word? You drive me to despair.
Alas, Your Honor. There is no elixir, balm, magistorium, opiate, unguent, ointment, local application, electuary, anesthetic, nor panacea that can cure the excess of glottal activity in women.
Oh, I'm lost.
If I could discover such an herb, I should be the richest man on earth.
Oh, I'm a ruined man. There's nothing left for me to do but tie a stone around my neck and jump into the river. I can't live in this hubbub. If you don't want me to drown myself straight away, then you must find me some cure.
There is none, I tell you, for your wife. But there might be one for you.
Ah.
If you would consent to take it.
Explain it, doctor, for heaven's sake.
For the clack of a wife, there's but one cure in life. Let a husband be deaf, it's the only relief.
You mean death?
It's the only relief.
Don't you understand? That's the finest discovery yet. Since he can't make your wife dumb, this great doctor offers to make you deaf.
What?
Certainly. Do you see any disadvantages in becoming deaf?
Oh, of course I do.
You think so? You are a judge. Of what disadvantage is there in a judge's being deaf?
None at all. Believe me, I am a practicing attorney. There is none at all.
What harm could come to justice thereby?
No harm at all. Quite the contrary. Judge Botal could then hear neither lawyers nor prosecutors, and so would run no risk of being deceived by a lot of lies.
That's true.
His Honor will judge all the better.
Maybe so.
Never doubt it.
But how do you perform this?
This cure? Kaphosis.
Kaphosis?
Quite. A pinch of this white powder placed in the ear is enough to make you deaf as heaven when it is angry, or as deaf as a post.
No, I don't want it. I refuse to be deaf.
What? You decline kaphosis?
No kaphosis.
You don't want to be healed?
I will not be deaf.
Absolutely not.
They told me he came in here.
Doctor,
I'm a devoted wife.
Powder. You give me the powder. Your powder. Your white powder, Doctor. For the love of heaven.
Never was a deafness producing powder more needed, that's sure. Yes. Sit down. I will inject the powder. Yes. Now, first in the left ear.
Yes. So?
And then in the right ear.
Yes.
There, tis done.
Oh.
There you are. Oh, my dear, I've been so worried about you. I thought you were running away from me. Oh, my dear, answer me. Have I ever failed you in anything? Am I a naughty woman? Oh, no, I've been a quiet, devoted, attentive wife.
Lovely, lovely. Can't hear a thing.
Listen to me, Leonard. I love you tenderly.
Oh,
I will open my heart
bliss
to you. I'm not one of those light,
doctor,
frivolous women who are afflicted of
heaven
soul
bless
by airy,
poor
nothing
girl
amused by trifles. I need
wonderful
companionship. I need to be understood.
Ecstasy.
That's my nature. I was born so.
Yes, darling. All the high heels you want.
Oh, Ducky, I love you so. And I want to keep telling you and telling you.
Delicious.
And telling you and telling you. And
absolutely
telling you
delicious.
And so the curtain falls on Anatole France's celebrated comedy, The Man Who Married a Dumb Wife. Legend has it that if you visit that particular neighborhood of Paris, the lovely lady is talking still, and the judge still smiles, not hearing a blessed word. My thanks to B. Benaderet, Peter Rankin, Hans Conried, and Louis Van Ruten, who joined me in this performance. And a grateful bow in the direction of Claude Sweeten, who composed and conducted the music. The gentleman whom you'll meet next week on Favorite Story is an old friend. In fact, you've been carrying his picture in your pocket most of your life. If you look at the face on a $1 bill, you'll see him. To most of us, George Washington is a heroic name in history. But next week, you'll meet him as a real human being, a family man, a father. In Ethel Barrymore's Favorite Story, The Young Years, you will come to know Colonel Washington as a man you might meet across a dinner table. We think you'll enjoy it, and we hope you'll be listening.